Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
The next hour or so is meant for education and advice. At no point should this replace mental health psychotherapy or regular contact with a mental health provider. As always, if this is an emergency or becomes an emergency, call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room. You are now listening to Parent Talk with Carrie, presented by Carrie Valdez. Carrie is a licensed clinical social worker who has specialized in the mental health treatment of children and families for over 12 years. She is a Becoming a Love and Logic Parent trainer and has her private practice in Nashville, Tennessee. And now, here's Parent Talk with Carrie.
All right, the witching hour. I like this show. I've always called it the witching hour. And it's that time in between coming home from work and getting all of the things that you have to accomplish in a very, very short window of time. And it ends up looking like crazy time, right? People can be upset. Kids are having tantrums. Parents are fussing. Everyone is stressed, right? So I've always called it the witching hour because that's what was happening in my house, and that's what happens in most houses, right? So the first thing to remember is this is not just you. This happens everywhere. In most families, most houses, at that time of night, it's very tense, right? The smallest thing can cause huge problems in the whole system, okay? So for most people, it is like 6 to 8 times. So if you're thinking about getting home from work and getting kids to bed, right, it's usually about 6 to 8. Some families, it's less. Some families, the time is a little different. It ends up still being a very tense time, though, right, in most houses. So I want you to think about it. Think about how everyone is tired, right, and everyone is stressed. And kids have as much stress as you do about their day. I know lots of parents who don't think kids are stressed at all. They think that's ridiculous. They think that children should not be stressed. What do they have to stress about? They go to school all day. You know, there's nothing to worry about, especially the little ones. The younger the child, the less the parents feel that kids can be stressed. And that's really not true, right? Think of it this way. The younger the child, the less resources they have to handle their stress, okay? As you become older, you learn ways to deal with your own stress. You know that if I've had a bad day at work or something happens, that's usually the best day for me to go run. Or I have to do other things to calm down before I get home. Or I need to call my friend. Or I need to do these. Like, you learn these things as you get older and become more aware of yourself and your body and things that you need to do to self-soothe, right? The younger you are, you got none of that. We don't have that when we're teeny tinies. So for those of you who have children that are in daycare, right, this is, did they sleep at daycare? Did they nap today, right? Did they eat today? How many bottles did they have? Did they eat lunch? Did they eat their meals, right? Are they going to the bathroom on a regular basis, right? It sounds crazy. I was always the crazy mom who needed to know if my kids pooped. I just did. I needed to know because I knew it was a big part of how they felt and a big part of their health, right? When they're little, every time you go to the doctor, you tell them how many wet diapers and how many poopy diapers your child has in a day because it is significant. So for the tinies, it is important for you to know those things, too. If your baby has not slept, you know, you might need to alter your whole night just because of that, to try to get your baby to go to sleep earlier. Or maybe just putting the baby down when you get home. You know what I mean? Those kinds of things are going to have to be put into your schedule as the days kind of go on, right? Now, depending upon the age of the child, if they're just starting school, it might get better as they get more used to their daily schedule, right? Daycares tend to do a good job of keeping a schedule, which is really helpful for everybody, right? For infants, it's really good. As they become toddlers, it's really good. And think about when they get into school, into elementary schools and grammar schools. there is the schedule, right? Everybody has a schedule. And the schedule helps kids to feel safe, right? They know what to expect throughout the day. And this helps them to remain calm. They're not as anxious because of the unknown or what's going to be happening next. So it's the same kind of thinking, right, as, with the whole schedule thing. So I'm going to talk about that more in a minute, but I want to finish with the whole stress part, right? Those of you who have kids that are in school age, elementary, grammar school, there are stressors that happen to them at school as well, and things that you might not know about, right? Things that they don't even think that they would even talk about, things that are bothering them, but they forgot about it, but it actually hasn't left them. They just aren't thinking about it at a real conscious level, but it's still kind of with their little person. And then as they get older, it can be other stuff that's happening that they actually are choosing to not tell you, kind of thing. Nonetheless, it can still be a stressor. So think about your day and think about the things that stress you in the day, right? You have the drive. Driving itself is a stressor, right? Some people find the drive relaxing and it's their downtime. Some people think drive is the hardest part of the day, okay? Then there's also what happens in your day, work performance issues, employer performance issues, co-worker and peer issues. I mean, think about all that stuff. Just hearing bad things during the day, right? Any kind of tragedy that might happen to someone else in your work that you know, someone else's child, all those things have an impact on our mood and how we come home at night, okay? So think about how many things affect your day. There are a lot of things that affect the children too. Now, I've talked several times about the fact that kindergarten is by far the hardest year of school, right? People still think I'm a little bit crazy when I say that, but the reason kindergarten is the hardest year is because they don't have the tools to deal with stuff that we do. They aren't mature enough. They don't have this little arsenal of the coping mechanisms that they can take with them to school yet, just because of their age, just because they're so young, just because their cognitive skills aren't developed as much, right? So their days can be a lot more stressful, okay? So the best thing to do with all this stuff is that we need to plan and be consistent, right? I have always been quite envious of those people who can plan all the meals on the weekend for the week. And they freeze some, or they put stuff in the refrigerator, and they have it for the week. And then it adds, it's a lot less stressful, right? Because they know what their meals are going to be. So that's kind of a non-issue for them, right? Whereas others of us, like me, I cannot get it together to be that organized, right? I know that the couple of times that I have done it, it is amazing, right? My weeks are a lot better. So this might be things that you just kind of ponder. Should I try this? Is it going to be too hard? Or is this something that I can do with a little practice that I get really good at it? And these planning of the meals things can make your life much easier, right? So to plan out your nights as best you can and be consistent as much as you can with the order in which things happen, okay? So your time might be off by a little bit, depending upon things that happen, right? But if you keep the same order, at least, then things are going to be okay, right? Think about yourself as being the leader of the house. Your mood affects everyone in the house, okay? So think about those times that you have had a bad day, and you have come home and you are stressed and very easily agitated or just really tired or really just not feeling good, right? Think about how those nights went in your house. Was it a harder night for you or was it an easier night for you? How was the mood of everyone else in the house? The children, your partner, how was it, right? I have noticed that when I am good at night, it's bizarre that it is so incredibly good at night. And it was really just based on my mood and being in a good place to be able to handle whatever was coming at me. Like nothing. You know, it was quite easy. The little issues that came up, I was able to not stress about them. I didn't get overworked about these issues. And I was able to just go with the flow, right? So compare those things. You can even check. Just try to be mindful of it. Because once you realize how significant it is, then it's going to be more encouraging for you to try to figure out a plan or how to make it more consistent during the week. The other thing is managing your stress can be something that you teach them, right? So if you are tired or if you are upset and you are losing it, you can say, I am really frustrated tonight. I have had a bad day. I need to take a break, right? Now, this is role modeling to the kids that the goal is not perfection, that everybody has a bad day, and that you are going to do your best to take care of yourself by, I'm going to go run. I'm going to go take a hot bath, right? I'm going to sit down and read for a little bit. I want to sit down with you guys and just watch a show because I need to regroup, right? So then you are role modeling for them different ways that they could possibly handle their stress. Now, if you and your partner are both exercise people, like if you exercise as a way to handle stress, which is a great thing to do, right? You have a bad day, you go for a run, you go to the gym, you do these things. Know that your kids might be wired the same way, and they might do better with that, right? This is part of the reason that I tell parents all the time not to consequence children by taking away their physical activity, right? If anything, I would increase physical activity, because of the fact that this is part of a release for them, right? Younger children tend to do better when they have this physical outlet. Boys can do better with a physical outlet. Athletic kids can do better with a physical outlet, right? Now, think about you and think about your partner. If you guys are wired that way, then more than likely your kids are too. So taking away that from them as a consequence for grades or misbehavior at school or misbehavior at home is really not going to be as the most effective tool to use, okay? It's going to be better for them to get out. I always say you got to run your sillies out. You got to get outside and run your sillies out. Go play. Go run. Ride your bike. Do what you would do. Now, other people might do other things, right? Depending upon your kids, girls might do things that are more, that are calmer. Playing with their babies. They might do art, which is a great way to relieve stress, right? They might do hand things like Play-Doh and clay and those kinds of things. They might be more on the creative side of an outlet to stress, right? So these are not the things you actually want to take away, okay? If you feel the need to consequence might be cleaning. Cleaning is a great thing to do, right? Because it is still a physical thing that they can do. And it's a win for you because then you don't have to do the cleaning that they're doing, right? So they can do a lot of things. They should be doing chores anyway, right? Anybody that has school-age children should be doing chores. Chores build character, okay? Now, we've talked about that before, but if you want more information about chores, there is a show that I've done on chores, okay? So go there and listen to that. But chores build character, so outside of their regular chores that they do in the house, they can do some extra things for you for misbehavior at school or grades at school or something like that, right? Now, please assess if the grades at school related to the fact they're missing something and they need like tutoring or just some more help with whatever the subject is that they're having a hard time with. Okay, so remember the whole role modeling if you are not having a good night. Ways for them. The other thing to remember is just taking a deep breath. I always feel like I sound ridiculous when I say deep breathing because it sounds so cliche all the time, but it really works and it's so super easy, right? And teaching kids to do it is going to be really handy, especially because they can do it everywhere. Right? They can do it in class. They can do it at their extracurricular activities, whatever those might be. they can do it there too. So you can be the first. You can do it with them. Y'all can do family deep breath. You know, you can do it to try to help each other and to role model feeling better, right? And what's funny is when they come back and start having you deep breathe. Okay, mom, it's time to take a deep breath. Breathe in slow, right? You, that in itself could change the mood for the whole night. Because you could just be cracking up, this child, A, caught onto it, which is great, recognized your stress, and is trying to help you with your stress by reminding you to do your deep breathing, which is really sweet, right? So that in itself might make your night just much better. Okay, so another thing that we can do to help with this is being consistent and also giving them more choices at night, right? Remember that a lot of times when we get into power struggles with our kids, it's about control. So if we give them choices, then we eliminate the power struggles, okay? And we just need enough control. We don't need all the control. Okay, now what happens at night, think about it, when we're tired, we just tend to bark orders and expect responses. And that might not work for the child who's had a bad day as well. Being bossed around all night is probably not something that they're in the mood for either. So then you end up getting into these crazy power struggles and there's more arguing that happens at night, right? So try to think of ways that you can give more choices. You can plan and think about this stuff, too, on your way home or preparing for the children, right? And choices about as much stuff as you possibly can, right? So help with cooking, help with setting the table. Where would they like to play? Where do you want to play? Do you want to play downstairs here and with me in the kitchen? Do you want to go play in your bedroom? Do you want to go play upstairs? Do you want to go play outside in the backyard? You know what I mean? Like, where would you, you know, give them some choices and some control about things that they want to do. And again, choices are things that you don't really care about, right? I don't care if they play in the kitchen. I don't care if they play upstairs. I don't care if they choose to go outside, all of which are fine with me. Right? So don't give choices about things that you are not okay with. And just try to give them two. If you give too many choices, then everybody's working too hard. You're going to stump your kids. They're going to be like, I don't know. I don't want to go play. I can't think of the right place. You don't want to get into that. It's two. It's two choices, right? So think about ways, if you find yourself getting into the arguments with them, right? Think, I need to give a choice. What? How do I get out? Even if you just leave, I tell parents all the time, if you are roped into arguing with your child, just leave. It does not matter if you have not finished your thought. It does not, they're not listening anyway, right? They are trying to win the argument. They're not paying attention to all the words that are coming out your mouth. So really, they don't notice that you just stop talking in the middle of a sentence. So do. Just stop talking in the middle of a sentence and go away and regroup. If you need to walk into the other room and kind of just be thinking about ways to get yourself out of this ridiculous power struggle, right? I know I'm power struggling with this child because I'm tired, because he's tired. What can I do to get out of this power struggle, right? And sometimes that was how do you get out of it. You just stop talking, right? Then, for the rest of the night, try to focus on how you can give more choices. Now, who's doing the most work here? You are, because you're actually planning and thinking more. But once you get used to doing this, it's not as hard. It's just harder initially at first when it's not something that's on your mind. Like, you're actually teaching yourself how to do this for a while. So give yourself a break and, you know, and try to do that initially and see how that helps your night, right? Okay. Homework stuff. Well, homework stuff, the rules about homework are when you start working harder than your child, that's when you stop, right? I will help you, but not do your work. As soon as you recognize, and that happens quite easily. In my opinion, it happens easily. You're doing work with them. All of a sudden, they're actually watching TV, or they are doodling, or they have totally checked out, and they are just waiting for you to give them all the answers, right? when that happens, just stop. And it doesn't necessarily need to be an angry thing at all. This can just be a, okay, I just realized I'm doing all your work. I'm going to go now. Right? And then they might be like, no, no, no. Just say, no, this is for you. You just come and get me when you cannot do something. Let's see how much you can do on your own. And then you come and get me when you need something. Right? And again, if it happens that you are working harder than they are, then just stop, right? You know, I'm going to help you, but I'm not going to do your work. Now, if they start to argue with you about it, that's when you do the, I love you too much to argue. Or, I know this can be very hard, right? But it's with empathy and not with anger. Right? I don't know. I would give them credit for the fact that they're trying to manipulate somebody else into doing their homework. I mean, it's kind of smart. You got to give them some credit for that, right? And they don't have to do it. They have you doing this stuff for them. You know, it takes a pretty bright kid to be able to pull that one off. So I would try to just leave in those moments, right? Homework can be very stressful in houses, right? The other part is, who has the skill with this particular topic, right? Is your partner better at doing math with your kids? Are you better at doing science with the kids? You know what I mean? Which is going to be the best situation and the best way to work? Maybe you are not the one to do homework at all with the kids because you can't tolerate it, right? Maybe you just need a switch every month. But you guys can figure that stuff out so that the kids are still getting what they need, which is assistance with their homework, when they don't understand something, when they can't read a word, or when they need help, right? Okay. The other thing with homework is if we can do homework in a schedule, that's going to be best, right? So if you've decided that as soon as the kids get home from school, they do homework. Or as soon as you get home from picking them up at daycare or aftercare from school or whatever it is, they come in and do homework, right? On the days that they maybe didn't eat lunch or they're just really hungry and they talk about being hungry and thirsty in the car, maybe just let them eat, right? Because there are some things that they're going to need to do first. Or if they're stressed, like some parents can look at their child walking to them and tell what kind of day they've had because it's written all over their face, right? So if you know that this has probably been a bad day, and you open up their book and there's a note from the teacher and this and that, so it might not be schoolwork first. It might be something else. And it might not necessarily be breaking down their misbehavior for the day either, right? Maybe it's just sitting there. Right, it's bizarre how just sitting in silence with them is very nurturing and supportive, and you haven't really done anything besides sat with them, right? Or you could say something like, wow, this sounds like a hard day. Now, some kids might just start crying just because you say that, which is fine, but it is just sitting. Don't try to talk about it in that moment unless they start. Okay, and then even then you can kind of try to dodge the bullet until they are feeling better because you want it to be a conversation, right? You don't want them to feel like they're having to defend themselves. You certainly don't want to do it if you're just mad, right? If you've read this note from the teacher or you've seen these grades and you're just upset. That's not going to be the most effective time to figure out and to try to problem solve the grade issue, right? What's going on in class, in school, academically, or the behavior issue. You want it to be a conversation still. If something's happening with another child at school, you want them to be able to talk about it so that you can problem solve how to handle other children at school, right? So think about that stuff, right? We know our kids really, really well. I think moms and dads know their kids way better than anybody else does. And you just kind of have this gut response and know what's happening with them. So don't feel the pressure of the day, right? Oh, I have to do this, this, and this. Sometimes you can just throw it all out the window and have peanut butter and jelly. You know what I mean? Sometimes you throw it out the window and that frozen pizza you keep for emergency in your freezer, that's the night you have that, right? There are just times when you just kind of throw it out the window, especially if there's things that are going on. Sometimes you just need to sit, right? And it might be for you that you have had such the day that what you want to do is just sit, right? Sit at the gym, sit in a hot bath, sit and read a book. The cooking thing is not going to happen, right? Now, here's where the whole perk comes in if you've planned your meals all week and all you're doing is turning on the oven and sticking stuff in there. That's where that would come in and that would be helpful because you're not coming home and having to cook big meals, right? There are a lot of other places you can go to get food ideas, right? Because I am not the cook. I am not, you know, that person. But this is a casserole kind of thing, crock pot kind of thing, leftovers, you know what I mean? Think about those kinds of things. So you are cooking maybe 3 days a week, maybe twice a week kind of thing. And then the other night you alternate leftovers. I mean, try to make it so that you're planning it so that you feel like you're getting your children what they need, as well as not killing yourself to be number one cooking from scratch mom, right? The other thing is remembering that the kids can cook. Kids that are 8 or 9 in your house should be cooking a meal or significantly helping a lot in order for them to start cooking. There is a learning curve with cooking, right? So teach them how to do it. Have them in there with you when you are making meals so that then they are left on their own. They can make a meal, you know, for dinner. They get a lot from cooking. It's huge for their self-esteem to be able to cook a meal, right? Now, you're teaching them a life skill, right? So that's a perk for you, but it's a huge contribution to the family, and it makes them feel really part of, they're very connected to you. This kind of goes with the chores thing, right? It helps to foster responsibility in them. They get to be proud of the outcome, which is the meal that you ate, right, that you said was really good, knowing that there is a learning curve with the cooking initially. So those are the things that can lighten your load, too, at night. The other thing to remember is that theory, my favorite theory, of course, is the good enough mother, right? So Winnicott's theory of the good enough mother is that the good enough mother loves her child, not all of his behavior. A good enough mother isn't always available to her child whenever he wants her. The good enough mother can't possibly prevent all of her child's frustrations and moods. The good enough mother has needs of her own which may conflict with those of her child. The good enough mother loses it sometimes. The good enough mother is human and makes mistakes. The good enough mother learns from her mistakes. The good enough mother uses her own best judgment, right? So the goal is not perfection. And know that most houses have a hard time at this time, at the witching hour, right? 6 to 8 or whatever it might be in your house. It might actually be less than that if your children go to bed before 8 o'clock, right? My kids go to bed before 8 o'clock, so I don't actually have from 6 to 8. My husband doesn't get home until like 6 or 6:30. So it can be different in everybody's house. So the main things to do are to try your best to be consistent, right? To plan as much as you possibly can so that you don't have to do that much thinking during the week when your time is limited. In order to deal with conflicts and power struggles, try to give lots and lots of choices, right? And sometimes you are more effective and more helpful to the children by throwing it out the window and just sitting and having peanut butter and jelly, right? But stress happens everywhere. So please remember that their stress can be higher than yours because they don't have the coping skills that you have in order to get through your stress. Okay. All right. So if you guys have any questions, you can email me at my website, www.carrievaldezlcsw.com. You can email me there if you have suggestions for things that are going on that you would like more information about in your families. You can go there. You can also find me at Parent Talk with Carrie on Facebook. So thank you very much for listening, and I will email you before our next show. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Parent Talk with Carrie by Carrie Valdez. The past hour has been meant for education and advice. At no point should this replace mental health psychotherapy or regular contact with a mental health provider. As always, if this is an emergency or becomes an emergency, call 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.